Well, welcome to part two of our seminar, Death and Resurrection to Life. And in this part two, what we're going to be doing is we're going to be looking at what happens to the body, the soul, and the spirit, the Holy Spirit from God, what happens to those things in a person when a person dies. We need to remember at this point that the soul and the spirit are invisible, immaterial, incorporeal. They can't be tested. We can't see them. And so what we need to do at this point is realize that if we're going to learn about truth in these areas, we have to learn it from the Word of God. That's why God gave us the Word of God to teach us truth. In the five senses world, we have seen that the devil will trick us. And what God has done is He's given us a book. And in that book are great truths about things that, frankly, we can't know about any other way. You're not going to be able to test soul or spirit. Ladies and gentlemen, it just comes down to the point where we have to read the Word of God and believe it. And it helps, as we have seen in the past tape, and we'll now see in this session, it helps if the translators translate the Hebrew and Greek accurately so that we can actually see what's going on. The first thing we want to examine is the body, and I'm not going to spend a lot of time on the body because we've all seen dead bodies or at least seen them in movies or on TV. The body cannot live without the animating life force of the soul. So when the soul is gone, the body is dead. We all know this, and we've all seen dead bodies. And we've seen dead bodies where, really, honestly, the difference between the dead body and the living body isn't that much. Like somebody who just took a poison, for example, and they died. Their body from the outside in looks completely intact. But there's something missing, and what's missing is the soul. What happens to the body without the soul? It rots, it returns to dust. It disintegrates into molecules. God's word is perfect. It said, from dust you are made, and to dust you will return. Dust you are, and to dust you will return. And ladies and gentlemen, that's exactly what happens to the body. So let's talk about the soul. Before we talk about the soul, let's define it. In Hebrew, in Greek, and in English, the word soul has many, many meanings. For example, a soul can be a person, like I was alone, there wasn't a soul with me, meaning there wasn't another person with me. We use the word soul as a moving and essential part, like we might say, well, the 12-cylinder engine is the true soul of that sports coupe. Or the soul is a quality that arouses emotion, like we could listen to a song we don't like and just say, ugh, that song had no soul. And we use soul as the animating principle, the thing that gives life. So we might say without soul, the body is dead. Hebrew and Greek is the same way. Soul has many usages. Like as in English, the word soul is used as a person. For example, Exodus 1:5, literally translated in the King James, says, all the souls that came out of the loins of Jacob were 70 souls, using the word soul as a person. Soul is used of any living being, like in Genesis 9:10, the living souls that got on the ark were the animals. Soul is used in Hebrew and Greek of the personality. It's used of the center of feelings and emotions. And it's also used of the life that animates the body, and that's what we need to talk about in this seminar. The aspect of soul we are interested in this seminar is the life force that animates the body. And so many times you'll hear me use the term soul life. Now, soul life is not a term used in the Bible, and that's because the word soul, one of the meanings of soul, was the life of the body. So if you said soul, you were supposed to understand the context that we're talking about the life of the body. But for clarity, because soul has so many meanings, I will often say soul life in this seminar, meaning the soul, that is, the life of the body. Now, I need to say, while we're defining soul, that soul is in the category of spirit. soul is not the same thing as Holy Spirit, but soul is in the category of spirit. What is spirit? Spirit is an invisible, immaterial, incorporeal substance. And soul is exactly that. So soul is in the category of spirit, it's just not the same spirit as Holy Spirit. By the way, the soul life that empowers the human body or animal bodies, as we will see, is one kind of spirit. The life that animates plants is a different kind of life. It's also spirit. It's also immaterial, incorporeal, invisible. But plants do not have soul. Plants have a different kind of life force that the Bible does not describe for us. We simply know from the Bible that the life force in plants is different than the life force in man and animals. The life force in plants is specially designed by God, and it gives plants life. It makes them alive. And the life force in man and animals makes us alive. Now, the Hebrew word that is translated soul is nephesh, N-E-P-H-E-S-H, and it occurs more than 650 times in the Bible. And because soul has such a wide range of meanings, listen to some of the ways it's translated in the King James Version. And this isn't all the ways. This is just some of the ways. Appetite, beast, body, breath, creature, dead, desire, heart, life, lust, man, mind, mortally, person, pleasure, self, soul, thing, and will. That's just some of the ways that nephesh is translated in the King James Version. As I said, the word soul has many meanings. What we're interested in this seminar is what happens to the life in a person or an animal when that person dies. And what we're going to see is that just as the body is not alive without the soul, so the soul can't live on its own without a body. Ladies and gentlemen, the soul is not a ghost that lives on after the body dies. That's the Greek model. That's what the Greeks believed. And Satan has done a good job through his apparitions and other appearances in getting people to believe that some soul thing lives on after a person dies. It comes back as a ghost, as an apparition. It haunts houses. It shows up in seances. That's all demonic lies. The body cannot live without a soul, and so the soul cannot live on without a body to empower. Again, it's not a ghost. It's an animating force designed by God to give the body life. Now, God created the soul, the life force, for both animals and man. Only created it one time for animals in each genus of animals. He only created it in Adam and Eve. And then the soul life, the life that is the soul, is passed down from one generation to the next. In other words, when I was born, God did not create soul in me. God only created it in Adam and Eve. And then the soul is passed down from the mother and the father to the next generation. Now, let's take this one step at a time. First of all, as I said, the Bible says God created the same life force, which he calls nephesh, and we translate that as soul. But God created the same life force, nephesh in Hebrew, psuche in Greek, soul in English, for both animals and man. I want to say that again. Both animals and man have the exact same life force that God calls soul. Now, you might say, John, I've never seen that in the Bible. And you're probably right. It's very hard to see in most English Bibles because the translators will say soul when the verse refers to people. but they will use other words such as creature, thing, or life when the verse refers to animals. But remember, it is the Hebrew and the Greek that is the original text that God had written to communicate truth. God can't help it if our translators are biased in their presentation. In the Hebrew and in the Greek, it is very clear that man and animals both have the same soul. Let's look at people first. Go with me, please, to Genesis chapter 2, verse 7. And again, I want to remind you who are listening to this seminar, maybe picking up this tape and haven't listened to the other one. I'm reading out of the ESV, the English Standard Version, because of the way it more literally handles some of the verses than some others of the modern versions. So humans have a soul, Genesis 2:7. Then Yahweh God formed the man of dust from the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living nephesh, a living soul, which the ESV says a living creature. Man became a living creature. Now notice that Adam, he had a body. God says he formed man's body from the dust of the ground. And it was a body, absolutely a body. But it wasn't alive until God breathed into Adam soul. Then what happened was God took from Adam's side, and his side was alive. Those cells were alive. They had soul in them. He built Eve. Then Eve was alive. Adam had soul. Eve had the same soul that Adam did. Then when Adam and Eve had children, the soul, when the egg, which was alive and had soul, met with the sperm, which was alive and had soul, then that soul was passed on to the next generation. And ladies and gentlemen, God does not create soul for each generation. The soul of Adam and Eve is the same soul that you and I have today. Now, animals have a soul. Let's go to Genesis chapter 1, verse 20, and we're going to read some verses in Genesis. And again, by the way, ladies and gentlemen, an easy way to study this, if you have a computer with Bible study software or you have a Young's Concordance, it's harder to do in a Young's Concordance. It's easier to do in the Englishman's Hebrew Concordance, but just look up the word nephesh. Just look up the Hebrew word nephesh. Go to your Genesis 1:20, for example, which uses the word soul. Get your Strong's number from there and look it up in the Bible. See how it's used. Absolutely, this is not that hard to do. It requires some specialized tools, but it's not that hard to do. Genesis chapter 1, verse 20, and God said, "Let the water swarm with swarms of living creatures." And the word creatures is nephesh, souls. So here we see soul in the creatures. Or verse 21. So God created the great sea creatures and every living creature that moves. And again, the creature is the word soul. The second word creature. God created the great sea creatures and every living soul that moves. Verse 24. And God said, "Let the earth bring forth living creatures." And that word creatures is souls. Verse 30 is very clear, Genesis 1:30. "And to every beast of the earth, and to every bird of the heavens, and to everything that creeps on the earth, everything that has the breath," which is the Hebrew word nephesh, soul, "of life." Do you get that, ladies and gentlemen? Every beast of the earth, every bird in the heaven, everything that creeps upon the earth, everything that has soul. Ladies and gentlemen, animals have the same life force that you and I have. Genesis chapter 9, verse 10, God is talking about the animals on the ark, and he says, "Every living soul," translated creature in many versions, "every living soul on the ark." Leviticus 24:18, "Whoever takes an animal's life shall make it good," life for life. Except the Hebrew text reads, "Whoever takes an animal's soul shall make it good, soul for soul." Ladies and gentlemen, God created the same life force in animals that he created in man. Now, by the way, I can just hear somebody saying, "Oh, Shane Height, you think men and animals are just the same?" No, I don't. I don't think they're even remotely the same. The fact that they have the same life force doesn't make them the same. We humans are unique, but we're not unique in the eyes of God because we have soul life. We are unique in the eyes of God because as an integrated whole, as a whole person, we are created in the image of God. Remember Genesis 1:27? So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female, he created them. We are created in the image of God, and that's what makes us unique. Now, let's take soul life a step further. We know that we as people have soul life. We are alive because of soul. And we've seen now that animals are alive because of soul. And gosh, if you have a dog or a cat or a bird, if you've had a pet in your life, you know, and that animal dies, you know, it's just like a human dying. The life is gone. They're dead. The life that God created to make man alive is the life that God created to make animals alive. That's what the Bible says, and the Bible has to be our standard for faith and practice. Now, what happens a lot of times is we're trained to think on a macro level. Like we think about John Shainhite is alive, or my wife Genevieve is alive, or you are alive, or my dog Zipporah is alive. And we think about the dog having life, or John having life. But actually, the truth is that it's every cell of my body that has soul. Every cell of my body is alive. You guys have all, maybe you've seen the things where, for example, they'll take a heart cell and they'll put it in an auger dish and it's just beating, beating, beating. And that soul is alive. Why is it alive? Because it has soul life, ladies and gentlemen. The soul is in every cell. And when the soul life in a cell dies, then the cell is dead. Absolutely. Now let's talk about that when it comes to human reproduction, because this becomes very important when we start talking about where does the soul go when somebody dies. Ladies and gentlemen, it doesn't go anywhere. It's just dead. The soul life is not designed to live on its own. All soul is designed to do is make the body alive. Soul life can't live on its own apart from the body that it makes alive. Now, for example, let's take a carpenter. And here you have a carpenter, and he's working away, and he's working on a saw, and he's sawing wood, and he cuts off a finger. Now, as he cuts off that finger and that finger is laying there by the saw blade, ladies and gentlemen, that finger is alive. And if he takes that finger and he puts it in ice, and they can then go to the hospital and they can sew that finger back on and it'll still work and it'll still be alive. Why? Because the cells in that finger never died. It was reattached to the body so quickly that the soul life in the finger was never died. It continued to be supported. The cell structure continued to support the life in the cell, because the soul can't live without the body, and the body without the soul is dead. Ladies and gentlemen, the scripture says that we are awesomely and wonderfully made, and we are. We're built to be integrated souls, integrated people, integrated humans. And the soul can't exist without the body. And if there's no body, the soul just dies. Similarly, the body is just dead without the soul. What happens to that finger if the carpenter doesn't pick it up and reattach it? If the carpenter just says, oh, well, and leaves the finger on the saw and walks off and just gets, you know, goes inside and puts a tourniquet on his finger, what happens to the finger on the saw? It dies. What does it mean it dies? You know what it means when it dies. It's the life in it dies and it rots. Well, we don't ask ourselves, well, where did the life in the finger go? As if the life in the finger was supposed to go to heaven. We understand. The finger was alive, but it's been disattached too long and it just dies. Let me give you another example. When a man ejaculates, there are millions of sperm that are released, and those sperm are alive. And if you've ever seen the videos of sperm, you know, they look like little tadpoles, and there they go off swimming, and their little tails are just moving, and they're swimming along. Why are they moving? Why are they swimming? Because every single one of those millions of sperm tadpole things, every one of those millions of sperm has soul. Every one of those sperm is alive. And what happens to the vast majority of them? they die. They don't fertilize an egg, and they just, apart from the life of the male body, eventually they just die. We don't expect to see hundreds and hundreds of quadrillion billion sperm up in heaven. We don't say, well, the soul has to go somewhere, so every single sperm has soul, therefore every single sperm is alive in heaven. We don't think that way. Absolutely not, we don't. We realize that what happened to the life in the sperm? It just died. Did it go anywhere? No, it just died. We know the same thing for animals, ladies and gentlemen. It's the exact same thing for animals. There are tens of millions of animals that die every year. You know, think of all the birds that die in the woods, the chipmunks, the squirrels, in millions and millions of acres of woods that nobody even knows about. And, you know, birds in the air, and they're just dying. And we don't say, wow, where do all those souls go? We know that, like, for example, when a squirrel is crossing the road and it's hit and it dies, which, by the way, I hate to see, but the squirrel is killed in the road, we don't say there's a squirrel heaven. We just simply say the squirrel is dead. Where did the life in the squirrel go? It didn't go anywhere, ladies and gentlemen. It wasn't designed to. It just simply dies. It simply ceases to exist. And interestingly enough, most Christians recognize that about animals and realize that when an animal dies, it doesn't go to heaven or what Christians call as hell. It's just the body decays and the soul is gone. We need to understand that what the Bible says is people and animals are alike, and that when they die, their body decays and returns to dust, and their soul is simply dead. And by the way, we're going to see verses about that as we get into our next session. So what we've seen here is that soul life, is not permanent. It can die, and as we saw, it does die. The soul life in sperm dies. The soul life in the finger dies. If you're combing your hair and you pull out some hair by the roots, those roots are alive. Those cells are alive. And they're alive because they have life, and the only life in the body is soul life. Your hair doesn't have a separate life from the rest of you. But you leave that hair in the comb overnight in the hot, steamy old bathroom. By morning, all the life in that hair is dead. It didn't go anywhere. It just simply died. And so soul life isn't permanent. It can and does die. However, soul life can live on year after year if it has a viable body to empower. As we saw, you and I have the same soul life as Adam. And that soul life was created by God for Adam 6,000 years ago. And for 6,000 years, the thread of soul life that has traveled from Adam to you has stayed alive. And it stayed alive because it's had a body to empower. However, if it doesn't have a body to empower, it dies. Like we saw with the sperm, the finger that gets cut off, or on a more macro scale, with a human body. When there's no body to empower, then the soul is gone. Or a functioning body, like a poisoned body is a body, but it's a body that can't sustain life, so the soul just goes away, and it doesn't go anywhere. So what do we learn from Scripture? We learn that the soul is life. It empowers the body. It will go on living as long as there's a viable body to empower, but it can and does die, and when it can and dies, it goes nowhere. It's just gone, ladies and gentlemen. And with that understanding, now you can see one of the reasons that the resurrection is so important, because what happens at the resurrection? God takes the dead body, and he reconstitutes it, he rebuilds it, and then he gives it life. And ladies and gentlemen, we live again. Absolutely. Our hope is not that our soul lives on as a ghost after we die. Our hope is that Jesus Christ is going to shout from heaven, and God's going to raise us up from the ground as living beings. Amen to that. Let's look at Holy Spirit. Okay, we saw just as the soul gives the body physical life, the Holy Spirit from God gives us spiritual life. Now, as with soul, the word spirit can have different meanings. In Hebrew, the word spirit is ruach, And in Greek, the word spirit is pneuma, and in both Hebrew and Greek, and English, by the way, ruach, pneuma, and spirit refer to an immaterial, invisible substance, like we say God is spirit. Then the word spirit in the Bible can refer to God, it can refer to Jesus Christ, it can refer to an angel, like the spirit said, or a demon, like the spirit said. It can refer to the invisible nature of God, we call Holy Spirit. It can even refer to the soul occasionally, because as we saw, the soul is an invisible substance. And spirit can also refer to our mental attitude or emotions, and we see this in Greek, in English too. Like, we can talk about, I wouldn't go to that high school, they have no school spirit, talking about the attitudes and emotions. Well, for our study today, we're interested in the invisible nature of God that's born inside a Christian when he's saved. And like the soul gives life to the body, the spirit gives spiritual life to the body. I should reword that. I should say, as the soul gave natural life to the body, the spirit gives spiritual life to the body. Now, the presence or absence of natural life is easy to see, because when a body has natural life, it's alive. When a body has no natural life, it's dead. Well, we're just as dead or alive spiritually, but we can't see it. This is why, say, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 says, "And you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked." We were spiritually dead, ladies and gentlemen, before we got born again and received spirit. But you can't see spirit life, so we didn't know we were spiritually dead. There's many, many, many people walking around the face of the earth who are spiritually dead, who don't have a clue about it. But as soul is natural life from God, spirit is spiritual life from God. And like the soul is not a ghost that comes and inhabits the person, the spirit, the Holy Spirit from God, which comes into a Christian, is not like a ghost. It doesn't have thinking capacity on its own, and it doesn't live on with a memory and love and praise after we die. After we die, just like the soul is gone, the spirit is gone, and we'll see more about that in just a second. But it's very important that we understand that there's no verse of Scripture that indicates that the spirit is like a ghost. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to see verse after verse after verse after verse as we go into these next sessions that show us that when a person is dead, they have no thought, no memory. They're not praising God, because the soul or spirit doesn't live on after the body dies as some kind of ghost with thinking capacity. The soul gave our body natural life. The spirit just gives our body spiritual life. And that's very important. Now, when we got spirit from God, what happened was God, who is spirit, and you have to understand, God is spirit. He's a great reservoir of spirit. And what he does is he takes some of that spirit and he gives it to us. Now, this becomes much clearer in some verses in the New Testament than others, but I'd like you to turn, please, to 1 John chapter 4, verse 13. And in 1 John 4, 13, it says, "By this we know that we abide in him and he in us, because he has given us of his spirit." Now, that's a partitive genitive, meaning that he's given us part of his spirit. God is a great reservoir of spirit, and when we get born again, he gives us of his spirit, part of it. Now, this is important. Acts chapter 2, verse 18 says the same thing. We need to read it out of the King James Version, because many versions ignore the Greek text here, but the King James thankfully got it right. "On my servants and on my bondservants I will pour out in those days of my spirit." Out of my great spiritual reservoir, I'm going to pour a part of my spiritual life out. And ladies and gentlemen, that's what we get when we get born again. We get spirit, which is spirit life from God, that infuses every cell of our body and becomes our new spiritual nature, part of who we are. So then you've got to ask yourself, okay, so then what happens to this spirit when a person dies? Well, Ecclesiastes chapter 12 says, "And the dust returns to the earth as it was, and the spirit returns to God who gave it." And when we see that the spirit returns to God who gave it, then that can mean one of two things. As I've studied this over the years, it becomes clear that this means one of two things. The first is that because God is everywhere, we know that, right? God is everywhere. And here's a verse that says the spirit returns to God. Well, since God is everywhere, technically there's nowhere really to return to. In that case, this phrase, that the Spirit returns to God, is a way of telling us that God remembers us, keeps us in His mind and heart, and will raise us from the dead with a spiritually empowered body. There's another way of looking at this, though, and that is, if we got born again and we got of God's Spirit, He poured out of His Spirit out of this great spiritual reservoir, that when we die, what happens to our spirit? It goes back into God's great reservoir of spirit. Again, it didn't come to us when we got born again with a memory of its own. It didn't come to us with ability to think apart from our own mind. It didn't make us into a split personality person. All the spirit from God did was it gave us spiritual life. We were spiritually dead and now we're spiritually alive. Not because we have a ghost living inside us, but because the life of God infused every cell of our body. And similarly, when we die, what happens is our body decays and goes away. The soul life is just gone. It goes away. And the spirit life, it just goes back to God's great reservoir of spirit. Didn't come with a mind or thinking capacity or a memory or love or hate. Doesn't go that way either. It just returns as spirit life back to God's great reservoir of spirit life. What we have to pay attention to in this session of the seminar is that we have a body, we have a soul, we have a spirit. God did not design any of those to live apart from the other. God designed us as integrated wholes. The body will eventually decay and return to dust without life, the soul life. The soul, if it has no body to empower, no functioning body to empower, will just simply die and go away. And the spirit, which comes from God to give us spiritual life, simply returns to God back to His reservoir of great spiritual life. And now, ladies and gentlemen, what we're going to do in the next session is we're going to go into the Word of God. And we are going to see verse after verse after verse that says exactly what I've just been teaching. God bless you. See you in session 3.